E1. Number 30A.
We start now with the law of interdependence of the Christ, and we just put down the Christ, and you know how we symbolize it in absolute Christian Science, stroke Christian Science. So in this way we have a very short symbol indicating really that this is now the law of interdependence of the Christ. What do we have here? We have, as you remember, the Christ in absolute Christian Science is truth, life, love. So you have truth, life, and love. And what is the Christ order in Christian Science? Is principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. So actually, what we will consider here is within the framework of the chart. As you know, we'll just consider how truth, life, and love as a unit, namely as that law of individualization, has its impact on the Christ translation, principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, because the Christ order in Christian Science has the faculty or the purpose, as you know, to translate principle to the point of manifestation as idea, mind. So within that framework of principle to mind goes on the translation from principle to idea, and therefore is showing the so-called slow motion picture of what we have in truth, life, and love, namely how the whole ideal of truth is constantly individualizing itself as individual specific truths that are adapted to the situation in love. So that you can see that principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, which we call the Christ order, is only showing us the modus operandi of what is already indicated in the Christ in absolute Christian Science. By the way, I think I have just made here a side remark because it has just come into my mind. I wanted to say that so often this week and I never said so. I think in our language, we should be very clear among us when we talk about the word order or the Christ order or Christianity order, because so often the students, when they want to indicate the four sides of the city per se, they want to say that it has four different phases, namely what we have, the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, then they call it the order. Now that is not an order. We don't have the Word in Divine Science as an order. Or we don't have the Word in Absolute Christian Science as life, truth, and love as the order of the Word. We have stated there very clearly that in absolute Christian Science, life, truth, and love are not an order, are not a sequence. They are a unit, and therefore not an order, not a sequence. What we call in our terminology the word order is only that order which we have in Christian Science. namely mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And when we speak about the Christ order, then that applies only to that Christ order in Christian Science, namely to principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. So never call, say, the Christ as such the Christ order. The Christ order is only the Christ in Christian Science. Therefore, don't call truth, life, and love the Christ order. It isn't the Christ order, because it's not a sequence. It is, again, just one tone, a one unit, a chord. So the term Christianity order applies only to the order of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And the science order applies only to that candlestick order which we have in science. So if we speak with one another, and in order to have a clear and pure terminology, let's be clear that the moment you take the word or the Christ of Christianity and science and put an order to it, that means on the level of Christian Science. If you want to express that being has a word and the Christ and Christianity and science, then you can either call it the four sides of the city or the calculus, that you can call, because the calculus is that fourfold process of word, Christ, Christianity, and science. In this way we get definite terminology. So I go back to our law of interdependence. Here we can see, therefore, if we know that terminology, I just could say that law of interdependence in the Christ would just say how truth, life, and love is really translating itself through the Christ order. When I say Christ order, you know now what I mean. Therefore, in language, we could state this law like this, that we could say it is truth, life, love, translating itself to the point of idea through the Christ order. That would be what happens here. And what is truth, life, and love? It means that you take the divine ideal of any situation, the divine ideal, and have it individualized to that point of perfect adaptation, which is really giving the answer to a situation. And the Christ order will show us how this individualization takes place. I just let you state that and write it down, so that you have a good, clear starting point what this law is all about. It's again taking that whole truth as the ideal, seeing that that ideal always wants to individualize itself through life to the point of solving a problem specifically, love, and doing that, showing that through the dynamics of the Christ translation. And if you remember when we did that Christ translation, that Christ order, we had various categories and we could see that the Christ translation translates principle to the point of idea in spite of every resistance. So that it is a power sense that is so dynamic that nothing really can resist it. How could we now state the individual steps? Again, we would have to see how truth, life, and love have its translating impact or its individualization impact, first on principle, then that truth, life, and love has its individualization impact on life, and again, truth, life, and love have its impact on truth, and then on love, and then on spirit, and then on soul, and then on spirit, and then on mind. But as it is, so to say, a vertical descent of the Christ coming down to man, perhaps we can symbolize it or diagram our law a bit differently than we did it in the Word, namely much more vertically. And so I tried to show that by writing here that truth, life, love as a unit is coming down to principle. I just write the big P. Afterwards we have seen it comes down to life, then comes down to truth, comes down to love, then to soul, then to spirit, and then to mind. Yes? Well, just first write it down quietly, and it can go on. It's just a symbolization of what we had before. Yes? Okay. Now, in order to keep this law in its proper category, and not to mix it up with something else, let's remind ourselves what we had in the Christ order. And so I put behind those synonymous terms, perhaps those qualities which we had in our category of the divine subjective objective sense when we did the Christ order. If you have now a loose leaf notebook, you just can turn to that one and you see it at once what we had there. See, we just turn to the Christ, and so we build on that very same order. We had in principle, we had what? Potential power, huh? So, potential power. In life we had dynamic power. In truth, what did we add in truth? The power of consciousness, huh? Yeah. In love, we had the power.
Total power.
Total power, okay. Power total. Yeah.
Or the, and then the power of total engagement.
Or the power of total engagement. Whatever you take, huh? In Seoul, we had the translating or identifying power, the translating power. Yeah. Okay. Then in spirit, the hierarchical or ordering power. Yeah. And then in mind, the power of manifestation. Now, just take over, you see, that's how you work, and that's how you don't have to remember anything. You just take over the Christ order, that column which we had of the divine standpoint, because here we are looking out from the divine standpoint, you can see, because we come down from Absolute Christian Science, and therefore we are taking the standpoint of truth, life, and love. And we are not leaving really that standpoint now, but just as if we would be sitting on a mountain top and would look down to the base of the mountain. We would not go down. We only would look down and would see what the impact is of that divine principle. Now, if you have enough room on your paper, unfortunately here on this overhead projector there is always not quite enough room for what we are doing. We can now ask ourselves, what happens within that Christ order when that Christ order feels the impact of truth, life, and love? The impact, in order to be always clear in that, you see, you just have to stick again to the subcategories that you say, truth is always the whole, life is always the individualized sense of the whole, and love is always, say, the adapted or fulfilled or consummated sense of that individual situation. So if you keep these three nicely apart, that first you have the truth as the whole impact, as life the individualized impact, and in love the consummating impact, then you can easily see what an enormous power sense this law of interdependence brings to view. So, what do we get if truth, life, and love touch principle? Actually, it would have three different impacts. Three different impacts. So, what do we feel we get if the whole of the potential power of principle is under consideration? I would say, if it's the whole, then we have really that whole reservoir which is laying there latently, all is there, stationary there, and it gives a sense that you have a great stationary power. In love. Huh? Sorry. In truth. Huh? That stationary power, it's that great restful power that just rests there and just waits until it can express itself. Well, if you individualize that, as life does, then naturally we get that what each one really wants to see, that this stationary power is our individual potentiality. That each one has within himself that stationary power individualized. And we speak a lot about individual potentialities. And if we see that this individual potentiality under love, under the impact of love, is there just to wait, really to fulfill something, but it's still there resting and waiting. It is perhaps that, what could you say? Do you have a sense of restful potentiality or of ministering power? I think it's a ministering power that is there, which says, I look after every individual potentiality. Let's put it as love over here, then right over here would be ministering. Power. Do you feel what happens? This is going on in being. The argument is always that God has a lot of power. But the suggestion is that the individual is weak and that he doesn't have much potentialities. Now this is a human argumentation about a divine law, which is absolutely wrong, because if we would fall back on the facts in being, we would see if truth, life and love is a real law, namely, that law which says everything which the whole has is also belonging to the individual idea, life, and is also belonging to the individual so that it can serve in each case, then you begin to see that our starting point would be right what we have been doing, that truth, life and love come to principle, to potent, as potential power, and says, truth says, I'm the enormous, stationary power of being. And that stationary power belongs to each individual, and individually, so that there is infinite individual potentiality in that reservoir. Infinite individual potentialities. And I feel within myself that I have these infinite potentialities. I'm not deprived of anything. And love says to me, and you know, that whole potential power, which is your potentiality, it's just waiting and waiting that it can minister unto you. That it is a ministering power, a serving power. That's love. Love that ministers unto the idea. So it naturally corrects that belief within us that we say, yes, God is mighty, but I have no potentialities. And because I have no potentialities, God is not looking after me. But this is corrected. And I feel now, if I look away from people and from person, contemplating me as a person, as man, but just see the infinite realm of the truth, then I jolly well see that the infinite potential power of truth has potentiality in every situation, in every individual case, and is just waiting to serve this individual case, the ministering power. Then we come to life, where you have kinetic power or the dynamic power. And so again, truth would say that this dynamic power is the whole. You get the sense of the full life power. Which then is individualized. Now you must get the flooding sense, an expression sense, no more a stationary sense. And you just feel that this full life power is, so to say, flooding every situation. I get here a sense that it is the flooding power, or the flooding every situation. And finally, in love, it floods every situation for what? Really, love for the consummation of a purposeful life. So we get the sense of that power of consummation. Consummation of a purposeful life. But get the tone now. Write it down and then leave your pencil and get the tone.